This is Brenda Best. I got a little song for you. Let's turn it up. Let's turn it on. Joji Fasentino is playing that song.
Live from your computer, it's time for the Joji Show. I'm Alan Firestone with Tina Pasentino, and now here's the host of your show, Joji Pasentino.
Woo, I'm grooving over here. Awesome. Hey, everyone, I'm super excited. We got a great, great, phenomenal show today. You're listening to the Joji Show, taking part in the wonderful Mutant World Foundation Radiothon tonight. You guys got to hear Solutions Now Radio and Teen Groove on the Move. And so we're gonna rock the house. We're the last show here, the last 2 hours of the Radiothon for Mutant World Foundation. And so this is gonna be beyond exciting. Mutant World Foundation is a foundation that I believe in so much. It's to keep music and art programs in our schools. Which is very, very important to me because in school, from kindergarten to seventh grade in public school, I have been in choruses and talent shows and Christmas events where I get to go up there and sing my little heart out, and that has helped me a lot. And so we're going to get to talk to a lot of guests here that are going to tell us how music affected them. So now, everyone, I'm super excited. Let's bring out my co-host for tonight, the host of Icon News, Mr. Lou Markland. Hello, Lou.
Hey, Josie, how's it going?
Oh, I am doing phenomenal. I'm super excited to get the chance to talk with you again for a wonderful, wonderful thing. Super excited.
Absolutely. We are 4 hours into this thing, and we are full steam ahead. We have had some great guests on so far, and I am looking forward to this last 2 hours. It's going to be nothing but fireworks, and we've got, what, 8 guests coming on?
Yes, it's going to be crazy, crazy, and I got to hear Solutions and Teen Groove on the Move. I was grooving some of the songs. The positiveness is just flowing tonight, and I am super excited because I believe in this so much, because music is a huge part of my life along with yours and all the wonderful people that are, you know, doing this, and I'm just excited.
Absolutely. I am excited, too. We're seeing an incredible movement. I think we've got people from, like, 36 or 37 countries tuning in to this radiothon, and this is exciting stuff.
It is. I am super, super excited. And like you said, 8 guests are going to be coming on to share why music is important to them. And it's going to be so, so, so much fun. And I want to, really quick, I want to play little message here. You'll hear a familiar voice there, Lou. So let's play that now.
My identical twin coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, my name is Lewis Markland Mash. I'm also known as Lou Markland. I'm the host of Icon News and former host of ADHD TV, and I am so glad that we are all here together today to talk about 3 of the issues that are dear to my heart. One is music, the heart song, long praised through the ages as an instrument of emotion, human creativity, and instruction. Many doctors, scientists, and scholars agree that music unlocks the doors to relaxation, creativity, education, and even higher test scores among children and adults. The second thing is education. Without education, there is no carrying our knowledge to the next generation. And just like a dinosaur or a dodo bird, Our arts will become extinct if we do not take special measures to ensure their survival by teaching them. And the teachers of this country and globe deserve our applause today, because they take care of our third issue, and by far, the most important, and that's our kids. Our kids are our lifeline, our most prized creation. They trust us to give them a future and all of the gifts that are at our disposal. When I was a kid, I was a troubled youth. I got kicked out of school after school, was in trouble at a young age. I was a typical latchkey kid growing up in Los Angeles, California. My parents loved me very much, but they had to work around the clock to support my brother and sisters and I. My father had a sixth grade education and could barely read or write, so he worked around the clock in a factory to give us a home. He always wanted something better for us. My parents encouraged creativity, and my teachers introduced me to music. At the age of 10, I began rapping, releasing my first record at the age of 14. I would spend the next 14 or 15 years writing, recording, performing, and appreciating music before finding my career in television. Now, I didn't make $1 million or a hit record, but what I found was a passion to create that helped me to believe in myself. As I became immersed in music, I started getting in less trouble. I was more interested in recording and writing music than going with my friends who were in gangs and many were doing drugs already. There are many, many people in this world just like me with a similar message and a similar story. Unfortunately, we live in a world with an uncertain economy and soaring unemployment rates. Our teachers are losing their jobs and programs are being cut. Now is a time when we must take a stand for our children's future. Let the weak say, "I am strong," and pass these gifts on, ensuring that each child is given the right to succeed. If you're listening today and this moves you, take action. Don't wait. Get involved. Kids everywhere need you. Go to our website at www.musearteodo.com and make a donation today. Every little bit helps. You say you're not in a position to make a financial commitment today? That's okay too. We need your time. Maybe you can give an hour a week, or five, or 10 even. Or maybe you only have a few minutes. Well, that's okay also, because we need you to go to our Facebook page. Click on like. Put a sentence or two on our wall, just to let us know that you're a supporter. There's strength in numbers, and we need people in Washington and around the world to see each and every one of these likes and comments, so that they know how important this is to all of us. Consider it a petition. Thank you so much for tuning in today to be a part of this movement. You're making a bold commitment, along with our celebrity supporters, to make a better tomorrow for our kids. It is a selfless act of charity and grace to consider these little children above yourselves for a day. And we salute you on behalf of MuseArt World Foundation and Each One Teach One. Let's not just carry the torch, let's pass it on.
Love that, Lou. And it's so, that message just is so inspirational and so moving and so powerful. I love it.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to have life written down in the book. Sometimes we have to go through so many different trials in order to realize, you know, what we can do to help each other.
Exactly. Well said. And I am very excited because we have a surprise guest here of yours, Lacey Kay. So let's go on the line.
Hey, Lacey, what's going on? How are you? Good?
I'm good. How about you?
Good. What's going on today?
Just chilling. Let's go back from school, the usual.
For those of you out there who are listening who don't know, this is Lacey Kay. She's a phenomenal actress and also singer. She is one of young Hollywood's up-and-coming stars. She was Christina Aguilera as a child in her music video, Hurt. She's been on some Disney specials and TV shows and all kinds of cool stuff, and you've seen her on the red carpet and stuff, and Lacey is just awesome. We love Lacey.
I love you, too.
Woo-hoo!
Woo! It's so nice to meet you, Lacey.
Huh?
It's so nice to meet you.
Oh, you too.
Love it, love it. Well, this was a surprise. Very cool.
So,
yeah.
So what stuff are you working on right now, Lacey?
Let's see. Right now, I just, you know what? I was in my character's name is Samantha in this movie called The Human Factor. I haven't filmed it yet, but it's just gone up on IMDb, and it's about, it has Eric Roberts in it, Danny Trejo, and, it has some really, really big stars in it, which is really cool because I'll be with them. But it's about homeless people and they're disappearing. So I'm a homeless child with my brother, and I'm like 13 years old, and I'm raising my brother. So it's a huge deal, you know. I'm hoping people will understand how big of a problem it really is.
Absolutely, and that's pretty heavy. And I know that you are also you're part of a new TV show that has some really positive messages. Which show was that that we were talking about just recently?
The show Olivia, is that what we were talking about?
There was Olivia, and I think there was another one. It has kind of a long name. I have to be reminded.
Oh.
Is
it Barracuda?
Kind of a fun one. Yeah.
Barracuda.
Yeah, Barracuda, and it was a TV show. It was Miss Vampires, Vampy.
Mrs. Vampy's Teen Talk, and In Between Talk.
You're like 12, and you're in so many movies and TV shows, you can't even remember the names of them. Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm doing so much right now. It's crazy.
And some of the messages that you guys have dealt with on the show are like bullying and just a lot of school issues, which is really cool.
Yeah.
It's like right up the alley of today's message. It's cool.
Yeah, it's peer pressure, bullying, acne. It's a huge deal going on in the teen world right now. I mean, I'm experiencing it. I mean, I still go to public school. I'm starting homeschool on Tuesday, actually. No, Wednesday. Tuesday, my last day. Anyways, it's really great. The topics they talk about, because peer pressure is one of the biggest ones out there right now, because people can be pressured into so many things that are good and bad, mostly bad because of the society we live in right now, which I'm really glad I got to do that, because it's lately I've been doing in stuff that's speaking a message. So, I mean, that's all I want to do when I grow up is to speak and do what I love.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you also sing, right?
I do sing.
And that's played a pretty large part in a lot of the things that you've done and just your upbringing and in your career and stuff, right?
Yeah, it's intense. I mean, I have to juggle a whole bunch of things around with singing, acting, dancing, comedy, modeling. I mean, there's so much going on, and I love it all. I mean, I wouldn't go a day without it. I love it.
And what would it be like if you went to school like on a Monday and they just said, hey, we're having a quick announcement. We just want to let everybody know that as you know, from this day forward, no more music. You're not allowed to have a Walkman, no iPod, no more music class, no more soundblock, no more anything. Just we're going to sit in silence for a few minutes before school starts, and that's it.
Like no more music at all, like in the whole world or just at school?
At school.
Oh my God, I'd freak out.
Let's start with school.
Me too.
So start with school,
I mean,
and then we'll give it a little bit of time, and then it's the world.
Okay, I mean, technically at my school, we are not allowed to have iPods. We aren't. I mean, we can bring them, but we can't have them during school. I mean, we literally can't even. We don't even know. We're technically not supposed to bring them because they could be stolen. People like steal stuff so much in the lockers at my school. But I mean. For that music, I mean, I can relate because I'm a music person. I love music. I mean, I played the clarinet in the school band last year, and I was first chair. And I played, I just love music completely, singing it and playing music. So that would be kind of harsh on me. I would try to fight that, because that makes no sense whatsoever.
Exactly. Same here. We have to have our music. Love it. And Lacey, I just want to thank you so much, because we have another caller here. And this was a surprise. I'm glad you stopped by.
No problem.
Thank you so, so much.
Thank
you.
Bye.
Thanks,
bye. You too.
Awesome. So our next guest here, I believe that we have Pat Murphy on the line. So let's put him on. Hello, Pat, you there?
Hi. I'm here. How are you folks tonight?
We're great. Very excited about the show. I'm super excited. You're the guy behind it all.
You know what? That's just not so true, but I appreciate that very much. Actually, the guy that's really behind it all is, just our mentor and our dude that keeps my strength up every day is a fellow by the name of Ken Craig. And, I just watch the strength that I get from, listening to a guy that's created such amazing events and, to help me understand what the bureaucracy is all about. And then to help me stay focused on this mission of getting music and arts back into public schools. It should never really hurt. It shouldn't hurt to be a child. And, I'm thinking that if we lose track of music and arts and the importance of that in the education of our children, that not only will it hurt a child, it will eventually hurt society, which will make this a very bad place. So that's my mission. That's my goal. Our team is very, very cool. And, I think this is really all going down because of you guys. You guys have done amazing work for the foundation and for all the other things that you guys are into. And that's just, words can't say enough about that commitment. That's awesome. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Anytime, and I'm very excited to be a part of this because it's something that I really believe in, and I've been talking with, a lot of friends from public school that just love everything about Mutes Art World Foundation and are trying to, how they can be a part of it as well. And can you let us know, can you tell us, the current stage of what's happening in our schools today with the music and art programs?
Can I tell you about the current state of what's taking place?
Yeah.
Well, it's basically just disappearing,
right.
And it's really tricky for me because, there are feelings that I have and there's research and data that I have that are all of a somewhat political nature as to the reasons that we have these types of issues and problems going on. And I try very, hard to remain outside of that arena and just remain focused on children, because children, in my opinion, you go straight down the line. It doesn't matter if you're independent, Republican, Democrat. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, a child is a child is a child, and we are all children in some way, and we need to be able to focus on that. So what I've learned, and that I've been doing the research now on this for about 15 years, and what I've been learning is that the bureaucracy that is behind the educational system that we have engaged in or allowed to take place in the lives of our children, the results are poor. The accountability is a problem. Teachers are being rewarded for things that they shouldn't be rewarded for, when in fact teachers should be, in my opinion, compensated for great results. And everybody that I talk to at educational levels, up at the NEA, I talk to them at Board of Education, all these different places, and they all say the same thing. We want our students to graduate with 3.8 grade point averages. And I said, well, that's great. I've got a 27-foot ceiling in my living room, and I want to paint it. What tool do I need? And they look at me like I'm crazy, and they go like, well, so what tools are you going to give the children to accomplish the 3.8 grade point average? When you continue to take things like music and arts out of schools, And the documentation is phenomenal. I mean, it's everywhere, every place in the entire world, in every single university across the planet, there is documentation. That if you teach a child how to read music at an early age, their reading comprehensions will be stimulated to as high as 50% higher than children that are not presented with those opportunities. Money should never be in the way of that kind of a tool. Every child walking should have an opportunity to have that kind of education or a piece of that curriculum as part of their education. And, you know, every child should have an opportunity to have an instrument in their hand at one time or another. And I'm not talking about Pro Tools. I'm talking about a real deal instrument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a friend that we all, you know Skylar Jett, you know, Brother Skylar is an amazing person that believes that he can teach children the difference between real live instrumentation and computers. And I would go to the end of the planet for that man to prove that point, because that's what makes a child whole. You know, and why should a child be sacrificed that opportunity because they live on the wrong side of the track? I mean, that's bull, as far as I'm concerned. That's the purpose of MuseArt. Okay, MuseArt wants to create a relatively large endowment fund, and, you know, it was a dream years ago to do it, and now, recently, I had a confirmation from the United States of America that leads me to believe that if we get together, we can pull this off. And, again, and it's sort of a sensitive area because it took place on a, you know, in a political arena. But there was a GOP debate that took place. It was round two. So the GOP, you know, guys up there on the, I guess I call it the rodeo circuit. And they were talking, at that time, they were having a debate about how they could run the United States either into the ground or up to the top of the world, whatever they want to say. And there was a partnership with Google and YouTube that took place during that debate. And that was an interaction that took place across America, and there was a question on that in that debate. And the question was that if you suddenly found yourself in power, what department of the federal government would you close down if you were being forced to close a department down in order to balance the budget and reduce the deficit? Over 178,000 people responded to that survey, and by an overwhelming 70%, they said the Department of Education. I was totally taken back by that. I mean, I thought, okay, well, wait a minute. You know, you can't, I mean, something is better than nothing, okay? I mean, the education system is there. It's just needing to be tweaked, and it's needing to be refocused, so it's not really correct to shut it down. But if over 70% of 178,000 people felt that way, they feel the same way that you and I feel, that the achievement of result is not there under the current system, and change needs to take place. It's as simple as that. So that was a validation to me that if they, as an American person, were given an opportunity to have an answer or participate in some way in the solution, that they would do it. So, you know, we deliver the message, how important is it for your child to be involved in music and arts education? We call them to action. You know what, if you really believe that, donate $5. Let's build this endowment fund. Let's get this back into the hands of the American people, and let's remove this responsibility away from the boys on the hill, because there are more issues that are, you know, that need to be solved. And this is just another one of the tasks among hundreds and hundreds of thousands of tasks that the government needs to deal with. What I got out of that, what I got out of that survey is that the American people are at a place where they really believe that the United States government has no place in the education of their children, and that it's really their responsibility. And, you know, the philosophy boils down to, what do we do about it? How can we help? What can we do? You can help by donating $5, because if 350 million people stepped up and said, you know, I like this idea and I want this to take place, MuseArt could hire those teachers and could outsource them back to the public schools. It would never become the responsibility of the public school system to raise money again. You would never have a politician standing on Capitol Hill crying the blues that he's got to cut music and arts out of the Philadelphia school district because they don't have the money. Because we at MuseArt will be held accountable, because we're a public charity. You can't take money in for a cause and not use it for the cause. So that's what we would be able to do for America, is in the restoration of that. That's my mission. I guess you can tell I'm just a little bit passionate about this.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I remember talking with, I believe it was Elizabeth Cobb. She was on my show, and she has like 19,000 followers on Twitter. And if, you know, just $5 per person, that could help out so, so much. And we were talking about that, and it's very, very interesting.
Well, it is interesting. If you really think about it, what it sends a message, right, that you're empowering the American people. I mean, what kind of a result do you think it is when, and you could be my daughter. I mean, you know, when I send you to school and I take you on at a senior level and you can't balance your checkbook and you can't read and you have no clue about music and arts, I mean, what kind of a citizen can I expect you to become under those conditions? And that's unfortunate, but that's what's happening, you know. And in the inner cities where people don't have, you know, relatively large incomes and the rich just totally take advantage of them, in those cities, the situations are worse. And it's sad. It's really sad because, you know, we got to fix that. And how many people do you know that have 20,000 followers on Twitter that could retweet and tweet and do whatever they need to do? Their MySpace pages, their Facebook pages. There's so many ways to get down to business. You know what I've learned, though, recently? It really made me kind of think about where is our priority in life. The United States of America had a presidential election in 2008, and 31 million people showed up to vote. Last year, 77 million people voted for American Idol. Where in the heck is our priority at?
Wow.
You think about it. You're like, okay, so we're a reality TV society, and that's okay. If that's what we want to be, that's cool. But that being said, I'm thinking that 71 million of those people that voted for American Idol should be stepping up if they love music that much that they would go to the trouble of voting and religiously watching that show. That same 71 million people should step up and put up to $5. And we could solve this problem permanently. And it would be amazing. Now, I don't know if you've heard all the scuttlebutt about what's going on with the content that MuseArt is in, that recently entered into an agreement to acquire some amazing content. And when I say content, I'm talking about a music catalog, a really large music catalog, something very classic in nature. It stems all the way back to the 1920s to the current time of music. And, you know, there's a grouping of people, myself included, that actually own the catalog. And we are working through the hoops with lawyers and accountants to donate this amazing asset to the foundation. And when we donate that, it's going to require, it's a $6 million asset, and it's going to require money to improve the asset so children can have opportunities to work on real projects. So instead of being in a classroom talking, you know, with a music teacher, I mean, that would be better than nothing, obviously, but if you had the opportunity to go in and work on an actual number one song and mix it and remaster it, do the kind of things that you do today, in the world that we live in today, those are really on-the-job training kind of opportunities for children. It really gets them involved in, you know, in the music. I remember talking to Skylar, I don't know, maybe 5-6 months ago, we were talking about, you know, how impossible would it be to put 90 people in a recording studio to record, you know, a song like Ain't Misbehavin'. There was a big Broadway number today. I mean, you couldn't do it. It would be cost prohibitive to do that. I mean, or it would be some stupid number, like $100,000 to get it done because of the way we live in today's society. So that's on the table right now, and we're working through the hoops to get all that done. We were hoping that we would get it done before the close of business for the year, but it looks like it's going to happen in 2012. So lawyers and accountants are all over it. We're just trying to figure out how to get it done, and that's going to be an amazing accomplishment for MuseArt because they're going to own 5,500 songs that have been on the top chart positions for Billboard. And that's what my attitude is, I want to use music to save music. I'm not sending home chocolate bars from your school, okay? I'm not supporting your dental. I'm not going to support your dental appointments, okay? I mean, we're going to use music, and we're going to save music with music. And that's amazing to me that we can do that. So there's a lot of really wonderful people involved in the project. We have great, great people. I don't know if you heard that we signed up Melissa Grayson to our little team. You know, Melissa was over. Melissa Grayson was over all the PR and the promotional activities for RCA Records out of Nashville. Worked directly for Joe Galante, so she sort of gets the idea of the music industry from a record label perspective. And we have a couple of people in Philadelphia that we brought on board recently. Mike Cash, who was an executive VP for a big company called Shop.com. So that's an organization that's very, you know, liberated in the way that they market to the American people. But that's the kind of thing that we want to do with music art, is take it viral. You know, spread the word online, get people to ask themselves the question that you asked Lacey Kay: what would your life be like if you were in a school and you were not allowed to have any music in your world? I mean, you heard her response. You know, everybody listening to this broadcast heard that response. That's from a young, entrepreneurial, successful individual in the entertainment industry saying, I just can't even imagine what life would be like without music in the world. Or in my
there was almost an element of shock there, wasn't there? She kind of stopped and said, huh, what do you mean? Oh, my God, I can't even imagine it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly. I mean, she was in total shock, dude. You know, and I could feel that coming from her, going like, I'm not really sure I know how to answer that. And us older guys, I'm sure we don't know how to answer that. I mean, I wouldn't even know what that is. I mean, I remember as a little boy, you know, with a transistor radio under my pillow, thinking that I was going to get in trouble if my mom caught me, you know? But, I mean, that's how much I loved music, you know? And, I mean, I still love it today, no matter what it sounds like. Creative outlet, creative expression, and the ability to regenerate one's mind and stimulate their brain into a better place, to me, that's just, I mean, that's where we need to be.
And, you know, it's interesting. You know, right now they're remaking the movie Footloose. And, you know, I remember as a kid when that movie first came out and Kevin Bacon was running around doing his crazy dances. And I remember I was just a kid and I watched it and I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. This, you know, so far-fetched, you know, a town with no music. And, you know, beginning to realize that that was, you know, a reality in some places at that time. And we've come such a long way with acceptance of music and stuff like that. And I remember hanging out with Kenny Loggins a couple of times in the last few years. And, you know, even though it's so many years had passed, I still couldn't get past looking at him. And, you know, even though he had done a lot of different things in his career, that still stuck out, you know, Footloose, a society with no music. And it was just kind of a chilling thought, you know, a world without music, without inspiration, without muse and individuality, if you will.
Right, right. And, you know, and that's an amazing observation on your part. I mean, I have that same feeling about Demi Moore. You know, I had an opportunity to work, even though it's not really music. Acting is music to me. Any form of creative outlet is music. But, you know, I got to sit on a committee with her, and we worked in a public forum in the city of Los Angeles under the guidance of Mayor Bradley. And we were able to successfully implement a music program in the criminal justice system, where if a child got off beat and got off track, did his crime, you know, he would do his time, pay his fine, get his probation, and now he has to study music for 2 years. And they actually ran that program in the city of Los Angeles for 10 years, and at the end of 10 years, they sent us a letter, and they told us that 98% of the kids that ever went through that reformation program never returned to the system. And I walked away from that. I walked away from that thinking, well, you know, why are you so surprised, man? Education is the answer. What is the question?
Absolutely.
You know, and why do we have to educate you? You are supposedly our leaders. You know, like handle
absolutely.
It. You know, because, you know, it's amazing.
We see patterns like the death row inmates on death row in the state of Texas. There's 456 as of about 4 years ago. It's probably more now. But not one of them had a high school diploma, which is alarming. I mean, just alarming.
it is alarming, you know. It's totally alarming. You know, Melissa introduced me to an individual down in St. Louis, Missouri, who owns the he owns a royalty copyright administration company. It's like the second largest company in the world. They administrate all the royalties for the Elvis Presley estate, for Garth Brooks, for the Michael Jackson estate, that kind of thing. And we got to talking about, you know, the whole spiritual aspect of music. And he does a Christian ministry sort of thing where he goes into the prisons and he gets music, you know, moving through the prison system. And he says it's amazing how the power of music and its ability to heal. And I thought to myself, well, there you go. And I hadn't really thought about that before, but if you could take someone who's off track and heal them with music, I mean, you're not going to try to get them out of prison if they did something really bad. They need to be there. But if they could still become a whole person and make a contribution to society in some way, even if it's nothing other than to repent and, you know, create restitution for what their own crime was, I mean, it's a powerful tool. And why do we?
You're absolutely right, and actually, building on what you just said, a lot of times we forget that prisoners who go into the prison system, they either reform, it's a make or break system, they either reform each other or they make each other worse. And sometimes we forget that reforming a guy who's going to spend the rest of his life in prison can actually still affect society, because other prisoners who may go for a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year stint, they're going to spend every day, day in and day out, in the same yard, learning from the examples set by those lifelong prison inmates. And if we reform them in the prison, they will be making a contribution by the way that they teach the other inmates that are going to go into the system and leave in a short time.
Exactly.
Hey, Lou and Pat, I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you guys. Our switchboard is lighting up like a Christmas tree over here. I believe that we have Mr. Skylar Jett on the phone. Can I bring him on with you guys?
Dude, are you kidding me?
Fabulous.
Oh, he is here. So
and why are you bringing him on? I just want to tell the people that are at home that are listening, especially in the 36 or 37 countries who may not know Pat. Pat was a manager of some bands that you might have heard of. I don't know, some small groups like maybe the Eagles, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Juice Newton, Colin Ray. I mean, this guy knows music. He's spent 90% of his life immersed in music and managing music. Worked for a little record company that you might have heard of called MCA Records. When he left the managing circuit after winning Manager of the Year several years, he took his ideas and put his money where his mouth is. He bought a $6 million music library that he is donating to this cause that we're talking about here today. Just an amazing story.
Absolutely. And I believe we have Skylar Jett on the line. Skylar, are you there?
Hi, guys. How are you? Feeling blessed.
Skylar.
Hi, Skylar.
Huh? Skylar, what are you doing, dude? I thought you were in the studio writing music.
Yeah, I'm on my way to the studio tonight recording my song, Stop Messing With My Education. I have 60 students about to be in the video, politicians. And we're going to do a serious protest around exactly what you guys are talking about. I've been on a five-year plan to get the music teachers back into schools, because this is ludicrous what the Republicans are doing by voting no. You can't vote no to get the teachers back into schools. That's ridiculous. And so I know for a fact, because I got a bunch of kids, that a lot of them will listen to their parents, but they definitely have headphones stuck on their head. So we got to give them the message of music right through that mechanism of headphones. And what's wonderful is we know that music keeps a lot of kids out of trouble. I have a good friend of mine. I think you guys might know her, Diane Latiker, and I wanted you guys to vote for her. She is in the top 10 finalists of this weekend to be a CNN hero. And please watch on Sunday. She is saving our youth lives. And she has a new song out for her for a foundation, and the kids are all recording, and it's keeping those kids off the street. The fact that they have a release in music, I traveled to over 37 countries, you know, and I've never been to a country that didn't have music. And if I said this to Lewis on my radio show a little while ago, that if you watch Sesame Street, which has been successful all these years since I was a youth, 90% of everything they teach is with music.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we all know that music teaches. It's a healer. If you have somebody someone that goes into a coma, when you get to the hospital, what's the first thing the doctor says? Go get them some of his music, because they can play one of the songs, and if the person reacts and their fingers start moving, they know they got a good chance there, right? It's just an amazing thing. No child doesn't like music. Every child loves music, and so we got to give it to them like that. Our good friend we had on Genevieve, my friend, is a TV star on Disney. We just had her on my show, and she. And Lewis, you know, you found out that, you know, she's now helping these kids with music to get them to exercise. And she's found out that this is working. And so Disney is now giving her all kind of new shows to do because they know you have to use music. Disney can't survive without it. And that's, you know how much money they make. They got to have music.
And I love what she said also, that she wears an outfit that doesn't show any skin, and that's been one of the biggest arguments that has come out of Hollywood and out of the music industry, the film industry, the TV industry, and that's that sex sells. And Disney, in my eyes, is a huge beacon of light in our world, basically combating that and saying that good news is news that sells, and we can make an artist shine and sell millions of records and keep kids entertained without having to show body parts and cleavage and things like that, which is an incredible message that they're sending out. And I thought that was great that she mentioned that.
It's wonderful. I think my foundation, Music Can Save the World, my foundation, I'm going to open a school just around social conscious lyrics. Because I challenge, I go out around and speak to the kids, and I challenge them. Anybody can write a song about love or their personal feelings and stuff like that, but I challenge kids to write songs about your community. Because that song might touch someone's life like money can never do. You know that? And it's really important that we teach our kids, you know, to expand on their vocabulary with lyrics. Anybody knows me, that in the last 5 years that I've been doing social conscious music, even though I haven't made a lot of money at it, I see how it touches people. From my cancer songs to song I wrote with Kenny G about kids' health care to Al Gore endorsing my song about the environment and my song Peace is the Answer about trying to get the youth to put the guns down. It upsets me. Like the town that I'm born in is Oakland, California. And I saw all these people converge on my town, occupied people. Occupied. Now, when it comes to their money and their homes, everybody will come out. But as far as those kids killing each other in the streets over there, nobody's coming out for that. And so that's what my song is about. And so let's use this music to help all these youth. And I want to congratulate all you guys for having this forum tonight and doing this whole radiothon. I'm trying to get Icon TV. And my buddy Michael Short with All Things Peace TV to do the same thing for television, a whole marathon like this. And so hopefully we can pull that together too.
Absolutely.
We can do anything we want.
I think that's incredible. And you're right. We have to go to the root of the issue. And sometimes the root of the issue doesn't make lots of money. And the results have to be, you have to search a little harder to find the results. Going through the statistics, the results, you can't put a price tag on a kid whose life is saved. You can't put a price tag on a kid who doesn't commit suicide because of something you did. You can't put a price tag on one of your children walking down the street in a neighborhood where a kid's going to stab him for his wallet. And if that kid was reformed 10 years ago, he's not on the street that night to stab that child. I mean, there's just things that you cannot put a price tag on, and so you got to go to the root of the issue sometimes.
That's right. Well, listen, I'm off to the studio. I got about an hour to half drive. I want to send love to all you guys, and thank you so much for what you're doing. If I can just offer my website, skylarjet.com, I have a bunch of social conscious music on there, and you can see how my lyrics will touch every foundation. I'm trying to help people with my lyrics, whether I'm making some money or not. The fact that you can touch people with lyrics and beautiful music That's what this whole thing is about. So I'm sending love to all of you guys. Have a blessed day and keep this thing going. I support you, and I honor this moment.
You be safe out there, Skylar. We'll talk to you shortly.
Thank you, Skylar.
Thank you, Skylar.
I love you.
Have a great session. We love you, Skylar. We love what you do.
You got it. Talk to you tomorrow. Okay, all the best.
Bye.
Good night.
And, Pat, thank you so much for coming on the show. We have another guest has called in here. So we're going to go ahead and bring that phone live here, but we wanted to say thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored. Thanks for all you guys.
We're just blessed to be working with you in such a great organization. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for bringing us all on.
Absolutely. All right, bye-bye. That was fun.
It was. And
I know, I'm pumped because we never even got a chance to talk about Elizabeth Smart or Each One Teach One or any of that stuff. We got to have another radio phone just to cover all that.
I know. There's so much that we still need to talk about, and I would love to do another one of these.
Absolutely.
This is a lot of fun.
All right, now let me go ahead. I'm working the switchboard here tonight, so I'm helping you guys out.
She's helping us out. She's helping me get my head straight because we have a loud night.
That's what I do. When the switchboard looks like a Christmas tree, I hop in here so I can help you guys out and get these guests on. So everybody wants to talk about Muse Art, so let's get that going.
And you're doing a fantastic job, and we love you for helping us organize this, too.
Hey, anytime.
Oh, yeah, shout out. Kudos.
I'm doing this. This is fun. So we have got amazing songwriter and producer on the line. We have got Preston Glass. How awesome is that? Let's bring him on right now. Hello, Preston. Are
hey.
You live?
Hi.
I'm here. Hi. How are you
Hello.
All? Thanks for having me. Good to be here. And
we're super excited to be having you. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. I just heard a little bit of my friend Skylar on there, so I'm glad to be in good company with him on your guys' show.
Well, he is a friend of all of ours because he is just super phenomenal guy. And let's just start off. Can you tell us how music has affected your life?
Oh, well, you know, it's funny. I was hearing a little bit of the tail end of that interview and how youngsters need something to gravitate to stay off the streets. And I've been writing music since I was 6 years old. And as a result, music has kept me focused. Of course, I'm a lot older than now, but for, you know, a good 45 years, music has kept me on the straight and narrow. So that's now, in retrospect, looking back, it has affected me in a way that it has not only been a career and all that, but it has kept me out of trouble, kept me out
mm-hmm.
of pitfalls and many of the pitfalls that youngsters get into today, and it might be because they don't have the outlets that I had when I was growing up. So one of the things I like doing and would like to see more of is making sure that there's enough programs for youngsters, whether it be in school or in the community, to gravitate toward music. Of course, it doesn't have to be one that they eventually get into a career, but it does. Music unites people. It also
mm-hmm.
touches people personally, and it also teaches people how to work together, especially when you're playing music together in a band or an orchestra, or you're singing together, singing harmony. It teaches people how to work together as people and community. So, yes.
Yeah, and music for me as well is very healing. And, I mean, I know for, you know, you probably, isn't it just such a great feeling when someone can come up to you and say, you know, they loved your work, it touched them in their lives, and it's relatable.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah, there's nothing like that. In fact, that's probably the most rewarding part of it. You can make,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of money or have a number one hit or, you know, do this, do that, meet famous people. But the biggest thrill is really someone saying that they were affected in a positive way by something that you were involved in creating.
Yep, definitely, definitely. And also, can you tell us about any memories that you have in school or music and art programs and how it helped you with where you are today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's I know that in high school I had a choir teacher named Floyd Massard. And while, you know, most teachers will teach you the fundamentals and just give you grades and send you on your way. But he took a personal interest in me because I was writing music, And not only did he give me pointers specifically, but he encouraged me. He said, you know, you really got a lot of potential. He's somebody that had achieved a lot in, you know, as far as his music career. And so coming from him and hearing those words, it was an encouragement to me that, you know, maybe I can make a career out of this after I finish high school and go out into the big world, so to speak. So there was an example of a teacher that, you know, albeit he didn't have to say those words to me, but he took the time to give me some personal interest, and here I am, you know, 30-something years later, still talking about it because it affected me in that positive way.
Mm-hmm. And people might not think that, you know, music programs are important, but it really is, because nothing is more important than nurturing a child's creativity and inspiring them to become whatever they want to become. It's very, very important.
Exactly. And that can come from a parent, too, and family members. In my case, early on, it was both my mom and dad that, while they didn't force me, they set musical instruments out in the house in front of us and played music all the time. That was part of family gatherings, is playing music, and not just one kind of music, but all kinds of music. And now I can see the effect of having that diversity of music, even in the music that I create or write. You know, a lot of people have told me, you know, you got a lot of different styles in your music, and I think it's because I grew up listening to pretty much every style of music. So my parents were a big nurturing part of that, and, you know, so parents, even if we don't have the program in school or in the community, we can start with the family.
Absolutely. And a really fun question here. What advice would you give to artists trying to break into the music industry?
Artists?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because that's a very specific thing. Well, number one, of course, believe in yourself. Right up there in that top 10 list also is to practice. And, you know, some of these sound like old, you know, obvious things, but actually those are the things that not only get you in the door, but more importantly keep you in the door. And that's usually the hardest part, is you might get a break, but staying inside and making a lasting career of it. Also, be nice to everybody. When I use the word nice, what I mean is don't burn bridges. Be nice to everybody, from the secretaries to the people answering the phones to the presidents, because a lot of times those secretaries are the ones that end up being the presidents later on, and they'll remember you for either being nice or not being nice. So that's something. Some etiquette will come into play there. And get yourself exposed, or get out there. If you're talking about being an artist, then you have, you know, there's nothing going to happen if an artist sounds fantastic, but he's just sitting at the house, or she's sitting at the house. So they get out and expose themselves to, whether it's venues live, or, you know, many ways you can do that through the internet too. But networking with people, you cannot do things alone in this business. It's a very people business. So network with people and work together with people that are of the same like mind, but also of different talents too, that can pick up the slack where you can do it. So.
Wonderful advice for everyone out there. And I believe that we actually have another guest here, so I just want to thank you so, so much, Preston, for coming on and joining us for this radiothon. We're having a blast.
Yeah, so glad to be a part of it, and keep on trucking, and drink some juice or coffee to keep that energy up.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so, so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Preston. We appreciate you joining the radiothon tonight.
Glad to be here. All right, take care.
Take care.
Awesome. So who do we have coming up here?
Well, we have got Gloria Brown on the phone, and we're going to bring her on.
Oh, yeah.
She is a wonderful musical instructor, and she does something special for you as well, Josie, right?
Mm-hmm. She's amazing. She is my vocal coach, and she has inspired me in many, many ways. So let's put her on right now. Gloria, you there?
Hi, Josie, and thank you for that compliment. And let me tell you, you are awesome. You've got perseverance, dedication. You're just a nice person overall. I have to say that.
Thank you so much, and you too, and I am enjoying working with you. And I love what you do for kids because you are a music instructor for young children, and you use your passion to help others find their dreams. And I just tell us about that. That's just amazing.
Sure. Yeah, I started out when I was 5 years old. My mother would be washing the dishes at the sink in our New York City apartment, teach me how to put over a song because she realized, you know what, my little girl can sing. So then after that, at 8 years old, I became an accordionist. I went for accordion lessons. I said, wow, people like me. I can connect to people. I can make people smile. Wow, I think I'll do this all the time. Okay, so then I got older and I did school plays. I got the lead here, the lead there. I said, you know what? I think I want to make it. I want to be a professional singer, okay? So what happened at 18 years old, what did I do? I started teaching. At 18 years old, I learned how to play the organ, with the pedals and all that, okay? I started teaching who? Kids. So I got older, and I went through the whole circuit. I danced and sang, toured professionally, sang in New York City nightclubs. And then guess what? I got married. I got married and raised a family. And what did I do with my children? I taught them how to sing. I sang, mm-hmm. and then I did something else. In my 40s, I decided to teach myself how to play the piano. I did. And then what did I do? I went back on stage with my kids, because they're so talented, very talented kids. And I have to say, later on, I started teaching piano and singing. And what do I do now? I teach piano and singing. It was meant to be, Josie, and I'm teaching you. What a dream.
It is so much fun. Right now we're working on melodies and that fun stuff, and you've been teaching me how the notes and everything, and I'm having, you do teaching in a way where, you know, you're doing it and you're learning and you're having fun all at the same time.
And you know what? That's what I like to do, have fun, because I'm like a little kid at heart, and that's why I do well with kids and teenagers and even adults. I'll take them once in a while. But I have to say that if I have a few minutes, I have to talk about Each One Teach One. My cousin is Pat Nelson. We reunited after 45 years on Facebook, found that he's in music. He found that I was in music. Told me all about the MuseArt World Foundation. It was Each One Teach One at the time. And he told me about keeping music alive in public school. I said, you know what? We got to do this, okay? So my student, 8-year-old Nina Nambiar, became my piano student. She learned the song. She recorded it. She takes it to her teacher when she moved to Kentucky, because I missed her so much in Kentucky. And guess what? She performed it, and when the newspapers, it went on TV. So you know what?
Wow.
I have to give kudos to Nina Nambiar, and I have to say this. I've got wonderful kids that I teach, and they're awesome.
That's amazing. And do you see, I mean, you get to work with all of these kids and teach them how to sing, and they must really just really get into it, and it probably affects their lives in many, many ways.
You know what, Josie? When I teach, I don't just do only music. I talk to them. You know, mm-hmm. I teach a lot of 7- and 8-year-olds. Oh, I forgot Grace. I'm sorry, Grace. I can't forget Grace. But what I do is talk to them about, how was your day? Do you play sports? What's your favorite subject? You know, and then they open up, and then they play better. And they, you know, one thing they do learn is, instead of instant self-gratification, they learn long-term gratification, because you have to practice. You have to have the discipline. You have to have the patience. And once you do that, they become a better person in school with the education.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great point also about music teaching the long-term gratification, because we do live in a society where there are so many different facets of our society that are cheatable. Even with, you know, video games, you can get a cheat code to move up levels, and you know, the internet and all different things. But with music, it's very organic and it's back to the basics, and you really do learn that work ethic at a young age that you got to practice if you want to be good. You've got to, you know, have a competitive spirit, not a jealous spirit, but a competitive spirit, which is a big difference. And when people are taught to work hard for something, they get that good whole strength within themselves to believe in themselves and to also put in the work.
And what is this about? Each one teach one. We're teaching each other, and my kids are learning. Each one teach one. They come in. They sit at the piano. The first song they play is Each One Teach One. Can I learn more? Can I learn more? Than then I was singing it while they're playing. Can I learn more?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, I get so excited about this whole project. It's so important, so vital. My daughter, when she was in middle school, Ashley, she came home and said music was cut from her program. I couldn't believe from her school. We went in front of, I believe it was a major grocery store. She sang and collected money to raise money for music. And that was like about 15 years ago.
Wow.
That is awesome.
If we can get
that's
more
incredible.
People to do that.
You know what amazed me recently was Lady Gaga, you know, and what she did that really amazed me, she almost played a trick on my mind, because I almost thought I had everything figured out. She played a trick on a lot of people's mind, and she did all this dance music, and everyone thought, man, this is one of those creations by the music companies. And,
right.
And all of a sudden she comes out, she's on the piano, and she's doing this amazing thing with she was up there with Elton John and Liberace. I mean, just blowing my mind, standing on top of the piano and playing with her pinkies, and I was like, oh my gosh, wow, that's amazing. And I think that was a good trick that she played on our minds, because she drew everybody in with the dance music, and then she said, hey, I didn't do this overnight. This was something that took years of practice and work, and then she showed everybody, look what I could do here. And I was like, wow, blew my mind.
It's so true. It really is true, Lou. And I have to say, Josie, you are an example of what kids need to be today. And I'm not just saying this because I work with you. I'm saying this because I found out by working with you.
Well, I love everything. And music, I have to say, music in our programs really did help me, because I was in choruses and talent shows. I did orchestra. I played every instrument that was bigger than me, the tuba, the cello, every single instrument. And it really affected me, and this is probably I love it so much, and I've always enjoyed it. And I'm so glad that people like you and Skylar Jett and Malia McKinney from Conscious Music Entertainment are all helping me and inspiring me to become what I want to be. And it's so much fun. I'm really enjoying working with you and getting my album out. I'm so excited.
Oh, we're two excited people. Three, can't let's forget. Whoa.
I'm so excited to see how everything works. And the best part is everyone is teaching me how to do it by myself. You know, no auto-tuned and all this other stuff. You guys are teaching me the real deal.
That's important.
Which I'm very excited about.
Can't wait.
It is. And I just want to thank you so, so much, Gloria, for coming on and chatting with us and joining the radiothon.
The pleasure is all mine.
Thank you so, so much. And I will talk to you soon.
Very soon.
very
awesome
soon.
Having you on. And guess what, Josie?
Very, very soon. Wait, what? Wait, what'd you say? You cut out.
Guess what? We are on our last hour of the radiothon right now, officially. It just happened. We are in the last hour. We've done 5 hours, and we have 1 hour to go.
It's insane.
Oh, sorry.
It went so fast. It went super, super fast. It's crazy. We have to do another one of these, because this was just so much fun. We're getting the word out about something that's so important. And I also want to say, for everyone out there, go to facebook.com/MutesArtWorldFoundation and MutesArtWorld.org and all those sites. And I bet King Groove on the Move and Solutions, we all have the links everywhere. So it won't be hard for you guys to find. Very, very
absolutely. And if you just tuned in, we are raising awareness to these amazing organizations, and you have just become a part of it with us.
Yeah, it's going to be so, so much fun. And I believe we have another guest on the line here.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have got a special, special treat again tonight here. We have got the amazing platinum recording artist from the group Champagne. We have got Mr. Pauly Carmen here, so let's put him on.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, Pauly, are you there?
I sure am. Hi, Josie, how are you?
I am doing great. I have Lou Marklin on with me, and
Hi, Lou.
Very excited to talk with you.
Wonderful. How are you, Lou?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic, man. I am excited to have you on here right now, and I know our listeners are ecstatic because the home stretch is the best stretch.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. It's my pleasure to be here with you guys. It really is.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Absolutely.
We always have so much fun.
We always have a ball, don't we, Josie?
We do. The last time I talked to you, you were in the recording studio, and you called in for my anniversary show.
That's
and
right.
And you were doing your thing.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, we got to stay busy in this business if we want to, you know, step it up a little bit. You know, times have changed. The industry has changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we have to wear different hats. So I've got a closet full of hats, that's for sure.
And that is just amazing. So wait, let's catch up. Tell us what's been going on. Tell us some upcoming projects that you might have.
Well, you know, we just are wrapping up on the new album that's coming out at the top of spring called The Kind from Champagne.
Mm-hmm.
The first single was released the day before Thanksgiving, just here a couple weeks back, and it's called Share, a beautiful love song. Of course, that's in the vein of Champagne, right, with How About Us and all of that. But that's what we've been doing, and right now we've been in Las Vegas doing a lot of filming because we've been doing videos for all of the songs that are on the album. So the next single to come out will come out the 22nd of this month, right before Christmas. And I just want everybody to check it out, and I hope you all love it. It's got a little acting in there, a little drama, a little dialogue, you know, and things like that. But it should be it should be an awesome experience for everybody. So we want you to tune in and check that out. Yeah.
Oh, you know we will. And you definitely are keeping busy with this new album coming out, which I am so totally getting. Just saying.
Great. I'll send it to you.
I love you. And I'm pretty sure that we have your song Share here with us. So let's play that.
Okay, wonderful.
Let's do it.
Here it is. Let's rock.
All right, share.
Well, if there's anything between us, girl, you sure don't show. If you didn't say you love me, I wouldn't know it. So let me take you in my arms and show you that I can, girl. It's all right for you to need me, and when you want me, I'll be there. So we can share a good thing. I tried hard not to show.
And that was Cher. Polly, amazing job as usual.
Oh,
fantastic.
Wonderful.
Oh, love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It is a time for sharing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, because we're here and we're talking about lyrics and the impact that lyrics have, I read an article this last week that was featured on Yahoo, and they interviewed Barry White and a couple of other great love songwriters about the lyrics and content of today's R&B and love songs in general. And it was interesting that the response to the change of the tide and the message was due to what they believed was, number one, was rap lyrics and the moralization of women, and also to just a more shallow perception of love because of so many kids that were raised without a clear idea of love. And what do you think about that?
Well, you know, love is something that's taught in the family when you're young. Hopefully, you can really get a good understanding of what love is through your upbringing, through your church. If you go to church, God is love. You learn about love. You learn about all different facets of love, but it's actually all the same, isn't it? I mean, you know, love is so many things and can be explained through song. Just a smile. When we shot the video for this share, there were so many different ideas that came about through the production company and everything. So they're going to do many different films, adaptations of what love is and how to share and how people share love. So love is love. Love is kindness, the kind. Reach into your heart. I mean, you know, you know what love is. It's just the opposite of what? Hate, you know? So, it can be expressed in so many different ways. I think that through song, that's what I do. And, of course, that's what Champagne is primarily known for. We kind of got pigeonholed for being a ballad band and a love song band, and it didn't really bother us at all, and it still doesn't to this day, because love is universal.
Absolutely, and it's such a contributing factor to good songwriting and lyrics, because when you have love, the love is going to be reflected by what you write, and I don't think anybody, at least in my generation, ever courted a woman the right way without, how about us, so...
Thank you so much. You know, throughout the years since recording since How About Us was put out into the world, so many people have come to us and said, oh, that song, you know, if it wasn't for that song, I wouldn't be together with my wife right now, you know.
It goes right there with Lionel Richie and Heatwave, it's great.
Yes, and on down the line, you know, but nothing but positive, good feedback, and we just want to keep that going in the Champagne organization. Absolutely.
Love it. And Polly, can you tell us about any memories that you have in school from music and art programs and how it helped you with where you are today?
Oh, yes. I grew up, first of all, in a family, seven boys and three girls, and everyone in the family did something musically, whether they sang or danced or, you know, wrote. It was all about music. But when we were in school, we would take our music abilities, you know, into the school with us, and so, you know, different teachers would ask us to either sing or put on little musical skits, they would have me set up my drums. Actually, I'm a drummer. I've been drumming since the age of five. They would have me set up my drums in the hall, the main hall, and when the final bell would ring, the teacher would say, play! And I would start just playing the drums, and people would all gather around, and they'd clap, and everybody would dance. But music has always meant so much to me in growing up. Taking music out of the schools
I think music out of schools is like music out of church. Can you imagine? You know, music is positivity, I believe. You know, we have a motto in the Champagne Band that music is a healing aspect of life, and we truly believe that. It's been known throughout the years that music can actually help heal, and it has done a wonderful job in my life. I wouldn't be where I am today and the person that I am today without music in my life. I can't even imagine it. I just can't imagine it, period, you know. Yeah, they have to keep music and art programs in our public schools. They really do have to. I mean, we at Champaign, we can do e-blasts from our website for the MuseArt World organization, the MuseArtWorldFoundation.org or whatever it is. We'll post that. We'll spread it around. People should go and help by donating to the MuseArt World Foundation. I can't imagine a world without music. No way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, a world without music? No. I mean, it can't happen. You know, it's an educational experience just like any other curriculum.
I agree. And I will absolutely give you the links and everything so you could spread it around. Thank you so much for doing that. That's awesome.
Wonderful. Our pleasure from here. That's for sure, Josie. And you
thank
and I
you
have
so
that collaboration that we got to do.
Yes, I am all for it. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm so excited. You know, I love having you on, and we have to get you back on again sometime in the future. And we actually have another guest that's on the line, so Polly, we will talk to you soon.
No problem. It's my pleasure, you guys, and this is a wonderful thing that you're doing. We're behind you 100%. And Josie, it's been a pleasure talking to you again. Look forward to getting with you again.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Absolutely. Thank you, Polly.
Love you guys.
Bye.
That was awesome.
Bye-bye now.
always awesome, Polly.
I'm going to be walking around the rest of this week, and I'm going to be singing, how about us? It's stuck there now. at least a week of it now for sure.
Me too. Let's see. Do we have a...
You're so funny. We love Polly. We cannot bring him on our show enough. He is a wonderful, wonderful man.
And he has positive lyrics, which is the main thing about just everything that I'm involved with. It has to be positive or else I just... You know what?
Yeah.
It has to be positive.
Isn't he absolutely amazing, Lou?
Mm-hmm.
He is. And you know what? I'm not ashamed to say this. I learned to dim the lights to that song. I did. When I first got my unction up to dim the lights, that was one of the songs on my carousel.
Oh, I love
and
it.
She
was certainly is on our playlist now, that's for sure. And we are excited because, you know, our fun doesn't stop. I mean, we have got amazing, amazing guests calling in tonight, and so many of them, and we can't thank them all enough so much for their support and their time to call in and share their love of music with us. It's been absolutely great. So I'm sorry that we've only had a few minutes for everybody, but there are just so many people who wanted to be involved, and how can you say no to that? You know what
right.
I mean?
Absolutely. It's been an
incredible
night.
Yes,
it is.
We have got amazing singer, songwriter, musician, music teacher. I mean, she does it all. She is wonderful. She's been a guest on the Josie Show before. Just a wonderful, wonderful human being. You cannot say enough about her. And if you talk about talent, whoo, I wish I had just an ounce of her talent. So hang on just one second here, and we are going to bring on the wonderful Amanda Ply. Amanda, are you there?
This is my grandma. I am
here. What an intro.
Amanda,
oh, my gosh. I am blushing from that intro. So sweet.
Well, we mean it all.
Yeah, definitely.
We think you're phenomenal. I always love talking with you, Amanda. Are you kidding? I still love it.
I always love calling in. I miss talking to you. It's been a while.
I agree. Right when you sent me that tweet that you wanted to be to call in, I'm like, please do so.
Oh, yes. I'm here. Calling in.
You had to.
Yeah. I definitely
yes, and I actually have a co-host with me, Lou Marklin from Icon News.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. And 5 hours and 20 minutes into this thing, and the steam is just building continuously, and I am excited.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I know the whole event seems like an awesome thing you guys have put together, so I'm really excited to be a part of it. Wonderful.
Oh, we are too. We are too. And tell us, can you tell us any memories that you have in school of music and art programs and how it helped with where you are today?
Yeah, I just remember being in elementary school and having the option to take those theater classes or to play the little piano that was in the corner of the auditorium that maybe wasn't working so well or had a couple keys missing or was out of tune a little, and by a little I mean a ton. But just having that exposure, just, I think it's so important for young minds, especially children and, you know, young adults. You know, your mind is like a sponge, and when you see things, you absorb it. So to be exposed to music, to be around it, to learn about it, I think is so critical to any development for anyone that's interested in music. And I just remember seeing a piano for the first time and just going, oh my gosh, I'm so excited this is here. What does it do? And there's the beginning of my career. Bored. That simple.
Oh, that's awesome. And you are totally hooked. And in a music video of yours, you're actually playing the piano, and you are just very, very talented.
Oh, thank you, Josie, as are you. Wonderful
thank
radio
you,
host. Look at you go.
But, thank you,
yeah,
thank
no,
you.
I just started playing when I was a kid. I was fortunate enough to have 10 or 11 years of classical piano lessons, and that was amazing. So I got to study all of the greats from the Baroque era all the way up to contemporary and impressionistic eras of music, and that's just mind-boggling to see how all these composers created, and I feel lucky that I was able to do that once a week for 11 years and just stay involved with school, and it was just great. It just created a stable force in my life, something that I can work towards. It's always challenging. There's never a point you can reach as an artist where you should stop learning or stop challenging yourself. So music, in that sense, has kind of created that mindset for me. So now anything in my life, I'm like, come on, challenge me. Give me something. I want to work for something really hard. I want to, you know, climb the mountain. So I thank music for that as well.
Yeah, and now you're using your passion and you're teaching others, right?
Yeah, I give piano lessons on occasion and just try to get involved whenever I can to talk about what I do, the process of what I do, and just try to put that energy onto others in a positive and an optimistic way to get others excited about their own art form or their own style and just loving music in general.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so now about you here, can you tell us a little bit about any new projects that you're working on?
Well, starting around the first of the year, we actually, my team and I, teamed up with this amazing booking agency tour management company. So I'll be on the road a little bit more. Hopefully coming your way, we can hang out, maybe play some Nintendo, some N64. We'll have a fun little date. And, so I'll be on the road a little bit more. But right now we're just finishing the edit of a video that was taped for the big show we played at the end of September. I opened up for Big Bad Booty Daddy for a benefit concert. Yeah, that was actually benefiting Big Brothers Big Sisters, which is an amazing organization. And we're just kind of getting everything together, and the show is coming out really cool. So come the first of the year, I'll have a little DVD ready for everyone to see of the live show, and then I'll be out on the road.
Oh, yeah. Send it to me. I want to know. I want to see it.
Yes, definitely. I will tweet at you. I will Facebook you. I will social media overload you.
It's so awesome how social networking is just gets us in touch and how it's helped. Because Music World Foundation, we're on Facebook, too. So, like, if you can.
Oh, yeah. Send you that one. No, I saw that. I just saw that on your Twitter. So that's awesome. Totally.
Awesome. I'll send you the link. Thank you.
Like.
super cool. And Amanda, it's always great talking with you. Thank you so, so much
you
for being
too.
Part of this radio phone.
Absolutely. I am so excited to be here. Hello to everyone listening.
And is there a time in your music career when you can think back and maybe see a place where music might have steered you in a direction that might have taken you back onto the path where life might have taken you off of it?
Definitely. Especially during those years when, you know, you get into high school and everyone kind of, you know, goes in their own direction in terms of what they do. And a lot of the times I was around a lot of people that started doing things that probably weren't the best decisions made. And I just remember just sticking with music and never being distracted and never getting off of a path, because once I started playing and writing, I knew I wanted to do it for the rest of my life. So anything else that got in my way that was distracting, or the people that start partying and, you know, doing all that stuff, I just kept balance and focus to stay on path. So it just, if anything, kept me totally stable and focused to just keep going towards my goals.
Very
What's cooler
cool.
than writing a song, you know, than going to a party? Whatever. Parties are not cool, everyone. Piano is the best. Yeah. No,
there's kind of a healing aspect of playing the piano, isn't there? You reach those keys, and one time you might play something aggressive, and then another time you might play something really soft, and it extends your energy depending on your emotions.
Yeah.
It's really quite amazing.
It really is. And what's even crazier is there's such a limited number of keys, and just the variety of work that comes from, you know, singer-songwriters like myself, or even, you know, the Mozarts and the Chopins of classical piano. It's just absolutely crazy to me that our minds are all so different and unique in how we create from such limited keys. It's just crazy. I mean, I don't know. I still wake up every day, I'm like, wow, I'm so impressed with it all.
It's amazing when you've been playing for a really long time, and then somebody sits down at the same piano and plays something that you never even thought of, and you just you marvel and go, wow, hold on, where did that come from? You know, like, wow, you know, and it's the same keys that sound so different.
It's so cool, and I love listening to a variety of artists all the time and just hearing them speak about their work, because it's, I mean, anyone that plays an instrument, it's just kind of you're wearing glasses to their reality and how they construct their reality through song and through music. And it's really cool. You get to put on those glasses for a second and see how they see or feel or interpret, you know, anything that comes their way. And it's so fun for me to listen to an entire album or something and just see the progress and the ways and the stories going up and down and just getting into the mind of someone else. It's kind of like reading a book. You know, an author writes, singer sings, a writer writes. We just all get into their world for a little bit, and I think that's really powerful and really awesome.
I always think that's kind of the ultimate in your face when you see a kid that everyone says that he's counted out already, he's not going to do anything, or she is just nothing but a troublemaker, there's nothing good coming out of them, they get, you know, C's, D's, and F's in school, and all of a sudden somebody sets them down and in front of a piano or with a guitar or another instrument, and all of a sudden mind-blowing music comes out of them.
Yeah, no, and that's cool, especially someone in that kind of situation where there's pressure to be a certain figure, to like get the A, to be that student, to be the star. I mean, music, there's no right or wrong answer. You just do it. You interpret what you do and what you feel, and it just comes out in a certain way, and there's nothing better than self-expression. So if someone can find that kind of identity through an instrument or through songwriting or through singing, that's incredible. Everything in your life will just be so much better. So much better.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
And you talking about the piano, it's inspiring me. Now you have to teach me how to play the piano, okay, Amanda?
Oh, yeah, we'll have the N64 Mario Kart / piano lesson day.
So they could just have
you can teach me.
They just do it on the radio. You know, anywhere there's war, just like, you know, two helicopters fly in, they drop a piano, and then the two generals come up and just black away at each other on the piano.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, okay, one guy won, the other one's lost, we're going home, and, you know, troops deployed.
Oh, you guys are crazy. I love this.
So much fun. Well, I am super glad, Amanda, that you joined us. And we will keep in touch, and we will talk to you soon. And I will send
you
some links.
Thank you so much. I hope you guys have a great rest of the show. I'll be listening, hanging out.
Thank you for coming
on. Yeah. It was nice meeting you. Nice meeting you, new co-host.
Nice meeting you also.
You're wonderful. I'll talk to you guys very soon.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
Take care.
Thank you, Amanda. Bye.
So we've got 30 little minutes left to share the final message here with all of you at home that are tuning in. We are so happy that you're with us, and we are so glad that you're a part of this amazing message, and we are not going to let up one bit on you.
Absolutely not, and this is just beyond fun and just so informative, and getting to hear everyone else's opinions on music and how it affected them is just a really great and inspiring thing. And I really enjoy it. It's so much fun. So, once again, Mutes Art World Foundation, facebook.com/MutesArtWorldFoundation. Check it out. Like, add, follow, all that fun stuff. I believe
any button that you can push.
Twitter.
Push the button, unless it's on like.
Yes, and I believe they're also on Twitter, Mutes Art World. I'm pretty sure. I'll post that too. I'm pretty sure we're on Twitter too. Yes.
Repost
all
the posts. All that good stuff.
Exactly. I will post everything for easy access. And do we have another person on the line?
You know what, Lou and Josie? This show is going to be coming to an end pretty soon, and it's so sad.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want it to go. We still have a couple more guests. We're still going strong, so everybody still stay tuned in. We've got some great stuff still coming. And we are super lucky because we really kind of wanted to hear from the inside. We really wanted to hear a teacher that teaches music in a school come on and tell us what she sees and what it is that children learn from being in music and art programs and how important they are, because she sees it every day. She sees it firsthand. It's right there in front of her. So we are super, super lucky enough to have Miss Amanda Taylor on the phone. So I am going to just go ahead and get her mic going, and we are going to welcome Amanda on. She can tell us all about music. Let's see here if we can get our little system to work for us. Then we will be golden. All right. Hey, Amanda, are you there?
I'm here.
Woo! We got it to work.
Woo!
Hey. Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing phenomenal. We are having a great night, and it's almost over. Sad face. But tell us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I am in my fifth year of teaching music at an elementary school in Glasgow, Kentucky. And I teach grades K through 5, and I do a little bit of theater also along with the music program. And we play recorders, and we do all kinds of fun stuff.
Ooh, sounds exciting. So much fun. So how has music affected your life?
Music has been a huge part of my life, my whole life pretty much. I grew up playing the piano and playing the violin. And singing in church, as I'm sure a lot of people that grew up in my generation did. And it's always been my outlet. I always felt like I could be anything I wanted to be and do anything I wanted to do through music. And so I kind of take that with me every day into the classroom. And I try to, you know, help all the kids see their potential through music. And I think it's really an easy thing for anybody to see their potential in, because there's such a variety of things that you can do that are associated with music. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And do you still have choruses and talent shows and things like that still happening in schools where children can really, you know, expand beyond the standard music programs?
Absolutely. I try to gear mine for grade-level appropriate stuff. So my little kids do different shows. They do Grandparents' Day. They do Christmas. We have an Arts Explosion celebration night that we're getting ready to start this spring at school, celebrating all of the four arts disciplines, music, theater, dance, and a visual art. And so we're going to do a big night in the spring for that. My second graders play an African drumming ensemble every year. So they get to do that, and they get to sing just at various times throughout the year. And as they get older, they get to do, we do a huge musical in the spring. This is our third year to do that. We're going to be putting on Mulan Jr. in January. And I have 100 fourth and fifth graders involved in that, which is a good, it's a little bit over half. It's about, I would say 58 or 60% of the kids in fourth and fifth grade are participating in the show in just various different ways.
Wow, 100 kids. That's a lot of kids right there.
That's a lot of kids. But you would be surprised how good they are because they want to be there. And so there, it's not a problem at all. We have a great time. And we
That's
do a talent
fantastic.
Show every year. I forgot to say that. We do a talent show that, and K through 5 get to be in the talent show, and sometimes they do it as a class, and but a lot of times they do it individually. They write their own music, so they do all kinds of cool stuff.
Wow, they write their own music too? Very neat.
Yeah, we had one last year that rewrote Lady Gaga's Born This Way and turned it into a ballad and rewrote it and changed the key and sang it herself and played it on the piano. So we have all kinds of crazy stuff going on.
Wow, that's incredible. That's incredible. And, you know, I've always been curious about one thing, and I remember, you know, when Josie was very young and was in public school, she had this experience, and I kind of remember what it was like. But I want to ask you, since you are just so dedicated into this, and we were just overjoyed to be able to talk to you today. So let's say you have a youngster that comes to you, maybe some of your older students, and they come to you as their music teacher, and they say, hey, I am really interested in, let's say, becoming a singer or something of that nature. And
right.
they say, you know, I'm really interested in this, and they're in all of your programs, et cetera. And they say, but I don't know what else to do. I don't know where to go from here, you know, other than the school things that I'm doing, you know, and they ask you for help. They ask you, you know, what should I do? What, you know, what happens? And, you know, what do you say to a student like that so that they don't think that when school ends, this is over?
Well, we are really trying hard just in our teaching of the arts to showcase different job opportunities that students can, you know, can explore. And we also work through the Gifted and Talented program with kids like that. We kind of try to identify a career field, which is hard in elementary school, but a lot of them really already know, you know, a lot of them are very, you know, decided about what they want to do and what they want to be. And so we do a lot of career research through that. We're also really lucky. We have a community here in Glasgow that is very supportive of the arts. We have a summer theater company that is adults and children that kind of just mix up together, and we do different shows. And so they have opportunities to get involved that way. We have vocal coaches around here. We have a lot because we have Western Kentucky University really close to us. We have a lot of different, you know, instrumental teachers. So we just try to, you know, gauge that and get kids pointed in the right direction. And it's just, it's a wonderful, very supportive community in that way. I feel like that kids really do have an outlet to do and be, you know, if they want to be in the arts, they can continue to do that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you know, and that's great because I think that, you know, so many times for these young kids, and I've seen it myself, but so many times for these young kids, they get involved in all that stuff. They love it. You know, they get out of, let's say, elementary school, and maybe less is offered or nothing is offered, and then that's it. You know, they stop. And
mm-hmm.
you hate to see that because we have some very, very talented kids who
yeah.
come out and do wonderful things, but they're almost lost. They almost don't know where to go. And it's so nice to have someone to say, okay, you know, I realize that you're not at our school anymore. You know, here's X, Y, and Z programs. Here's who I can talk to. Here's where you can go.
Right.
You know, it's just so nice to still have something like that.
Well, we also try, as a school district, all of the music teachers, we try to get together so that we're aligned between elementary school and middle school and high school. We try to, you know, make sure that we don't lose any kids, you know, in the cracks as they transition from one place to the next, which I think is also really, really, really helpful. So.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that just goes to show why it is so important to have wonderful music teachers in school and have these programs in school because, you know, they not only have it there, but they have someone that they can look up to. They got someone who can transition them to the next place or give them ideas or get to
give
the next
them advice.
Role. You know, without that, I mean, it's sad. Absolutely. Everybody's absolutely right. It's sad. We definitely need to have this. It's very important for children. So now I understand that you have just been, you know, very instrumental in this Muse Art World Foundation program. Tell us a little bit about the work that you've done here with MuseArt.
Well, I don't feel like I've done very much. We were so fortunate to have Nina Nambiar move into our school system this year. And she, you know, came from New Jersey, and she is a vocal and piano student of Gloria's. And when she came, she said, hey, I have this song, and I've learned it, and I'm going to sing it, and, you know, we're going to do this big thing. And so we just were kind of like, okay, tell us more about it. And so she started telling us about the song, and she said, well, I'll bring it in, or I think they may have emailed it to us. And so we listened to it. The art teacher and myself, we team teach sometimes, so we listened to it together, and we had already decided we needed to have a theme for our school year this year, and we have a new principal, so it's just been a year of, you know, a lot of transitioning and new things. And so when we heard Each One Teach One, we were just like, that's it. That's it. That is exactly what, you know, our year and our message needs to be. And so we have really made a big push at Highland to talk to kids about how you can do something really small that will make a huge difference in the world. And so we used that song. We had a day where we honored the first responders from our community, and they came, and Nina performed the song at our school for our whole student body and all of the fire department and the police and everybody who came, and that was amazing. We were able to get the TV news station to come out and do a story on it and the newspaper. And so I don't really feel like I did much at all, but we just love the message, and we are just trying to get the word out where we are, you know, about making a difference and about keeping the arts in public school. And like I said, it's super easy to do when you have administration and you have a district and a community that is as supportive as this one is. It's not a hard thing to do at all.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
That's awesome.
And isn't that amazing, Lou? I mean, seriously, isn't it just amazing how far it really is.
It's amazing. You know, I think that there's like this fact of, this thing that happens when we start to get to where we're in high school and moving into college, where there's this fear that maybe picking something in life that we're going to enjoy isn't the correct way to go, because maybe a career is supposed to be grueling hard work that's not enjoyable. And so many people, including myself, pick, you know, majors that were backup majors, law and society for me, and for other people it was communications or psychology or whatever it may be. And there's this pressure. And I think that then we come to this realization that, you know what, why would we ever want a kid to not grow up thinking that they can have everything they want in life and enjoy themselves? And I think that that same attitude almost rolls over into this place where people feel like maybe cutting programs like music isn't important, because all that matters is math, science, English, history, and, you know, the basic general ed classes, and then we forget how important these programs are and that there's a lot more to life than just number crunching.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, and it's really funny that you said that, because I was one of those people that chose a different career. This is actually my second career. I picked a backup major, too, and didn't do what I loved just because I felt like I had some sort of responsibility to do something that, you know, was hard, or, you know, that I was going to make a lot of money doing, or, you know, something like that. I do think there is a lot of pressure, and so it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. I totally agree.
Yeah,
with
those pressures are very real. I mean, they're almost a form of adult peer pressure, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think it is a problem, and I don't think that it's addressed enough.
And it can be very detrimental for a kid when you put pressures on them to excel in an area that they don't naturally excel in. You know, to take a kid who's got this creative energy and this amazing spirit that, that can do so many great things for the world and healing and bring music to people's ears, and then try to make them a math major or a psychology major, which, you know, just not up their alley. And then now you've got a kid who drops out of school because they can't toe the mark, at least they can't toe somebody else's ideal mark, when they should have just been toeing their own mark in what they do well.
Right. I agree with that. I don't think that people realize the benefit of the arts, which really surprises me, because it's out there. I mean, it's out there. It's not like that's information that's been hidden that we're just now figuring out. I mean, I feel like that's information that's been published again and again and again, And I also feel like people, you know, they don't count, you know, the different intelligences, gardeners' intelligences. I feel like they discount all the people who are musically intelligent or artistically intelligent. And, you know, and then they try to, it's like trying to force a round peg into a square hole. It just doesn't work. And then everybody's unhappy in the long run. So,
absolutely.
I don't know.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm just glad they didn't give David an SAT score when they called him in to play his harp. You know, he may have surprised everyone and not done well at math at all.
Yes, we're in big discussions right now about assessment and what does it measure, and you know, is it measuring things effectively, and you know, it's really funny just how blind we are to things that are just right there sometimes. You know, I definitely see that is happening in a lot of places. And I, you know, I also love about music is that kids that don't have an opportunity to succeed necessarily anywhere else, who might not be, you know, the smartest math kid or reading kid or science kid, they can, you know, be a musician and they can excel at that, which I think is really amazing.
Absolutely. I'd love to take the politicians who are up on Capitol Hill talking about taking away music programs and take away their music collection and tell them they can't have it. And they're not going to give the kids music. They don't get music anymore either. Your 12 hours a day, no more getting in your Mercedes and turning on your favorite music collection.
Yes, exactly. I agree with you. Nobody else lives without music in their daily life, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Amanda, I just want to thank you so, so much for coming on and being a part of the Radiothon. Thank you so, so much.
I appreciate you all just for getting the word out and for having me on and just for supporting the teachers and the kids and everybody else out there trying to get the message across about how important music is.
Exactly,
absolutely.
Exactly.
Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
All you do.
Thank you guys very much. You have a good night.
You too.
You too.
You know, we're winding down right now, and I've said it from day one that when they bailed out the banks, when they bailed out the auto industry in Detroit, I was in Detroit this last year. I saw how that city's been hit, but the bottom line is that they should have been bailing out social issues like teachers and keeping the teachers' jobs and their salaries intact before the auto workers, because that's an industry that's just going to find itself in trouble all over again, and it's a privately sector-owned business, but the teachers are part of our social cause. They're part of keeping the crime down. They're part of giving our kids hope, and we just cannot neglect that issue.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Laura, I have to say, this is pretty incredible, but on the stream, it looks like we have 242 people listening to us.
Beautiful. That's awesome. How about 242 people? I love you.
Absolutely, and that's only one stream. Oh, wait till we get the numbers. But so far, that's how many people are live just at the Muse Art World site. There's certainly plenty of other sites for them to be listening, but at that one site, that's where we have got a bunch of people listening.
All those people listening to us, I mean, $5, like they said before, can just make a huge difference for the Muse Art World Foundation.
And before we go ahead and bring our next guest on, because she is here, and we're going to have her just for a short time. Her phone's giving her some trouble, but she managed to work it out for us. We do want to remind everybody to please make sure they go and support the Facebook pages, which is going to help bring us to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Please go ahead and support the Facebook pages for Muse Art World Foundation, spelled M-U-Z-A-R-T, and then also Conscious Music Entertainment. Please go and like both of those pages and show your support so we can continue to make this program grow. And now I am very excited to tell you that we have Nessa Kovacs on the line, and she does a show called On Air with Nessa Kovacs, which I'm not mistaken is also on the Daily Talk Show Network. We will find out. Let's bring her on right now. Nessa, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hello,
hey,
Nessa. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, everybody. I just hear like a bunch of voices. Hi.
You are the grand finale tonight.
Oh, save the best for last.
That's right.
So how are you guys doing? Like, how's everyone going?
We're fantastic. Are you over there in Hollywood?
No, actually, I'm on PCH looking at the dark beach.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm over here. I go to school in Santa Monica, so I like take the beach route all the way home every day, so I get to see the beach right now.
Is that Santa Monica Boulevard in the ocean, somewhere around there?
Yeah, right over there.
Yeah, love it.
Absolutely.
Cool.
And so can you tell us, Nessa, about any memories that you have in school or music and art programs and how it helped you with where you are today?
School I'm always iffy with. I'm always one of those people, like, I have a big imagination. It's hard for me to, like, focus on, like, one math problem. I was always that type of kid, but as I got older, and I actually graduated early. I graduated when I was 17 years old, and I went right into film school at Musician Institute in Hollywood, and it really helped me a lot. It got me to look behind the scenes of, like, all aspects for movies, music videos, musicals, like everything. It was just fun to be able to, like, be a director, you know, and being able to tell what other actors to do. It was actually fun to do that. But just being able to, like, see the other aspect, it really opened my eyes. Like, this isn't just playing a character. Like, it's much more into the art.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And how has music affected your life?
Music is my life. It's just one of those, like, one of those harmonies that just always has to, like, play through your life. Doing music brings a lot of happiness to my life. I like performing a lot. And then also just being a part of teams, like, having, like, being in the studio, even when my friends are recording and stuff, it's, like, it's real, real fun. And then going to a music school, when I went to the music school, it was fun to even see, like, a lot of independent artists into their studies and meet a lot of new beat makers, producers, and, like, music is just life. Music is my life. It's, like, you have movies, and you have music, and then you have me. It's, like, that's just how it always works for me.
That is awesome. And can you tell us about some projects that you're currently working on?
I'm currently still pushing my book, The mm-hmm. Party, Sex, and Drugs, trying to figure out some school tours to kind of do with that. I have a few shows still writing, still kind of, can't say too much, but in post-production, I can say, kind of like still working on them. And then I'm also just trying to finish school, but as soon as I finish school, I'm really trying to launch this T-shirt line that I'm doing. So I have a lot of projects under my belt. It's just like everything. Still writing and trying to push projects mainly, though.
Yeah, you're keeping busy. And T-shirt line, where will we be able to check that out when it comes out?
Put it online because I really want to start, like, that, get it out there, get people, my friends wearing it and stuff like that before I kind of put it into the stores. I know it's kind of backwards, but, hey, I want to do it that way. I want to be able to have, like, I want to be able to sponsor my friends mainly first before I just, like, put it in Macy's and TJ Maxx and all types of different stores. I really want to get it out there and get all the editorial work done first and then start off trying to put it in stores.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Well, let me know where I can purchase it. I'll sport it.
I will. We got to get you in a picture, you know. We got to get you in, and then I send you a shirt, and then you can buy, like, 12 more. And then, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, you got the marketing aspect out of it.
Yeah, I got it right. Like, give me a free one, buy 12. Yeah, I got it.
That's right.
Smart.
Uh-huh.
That's fantastic. And Nisa, why don't you tell us a little bit about the show that you do?
Oh, yeah.
The On Air with Nisa show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's an internet radio show. I do it on newdaytalkradio.com. And it's really just a radio for teens and even older. But I mainly kind of focus on teens, like a few episodes we do, teen violence, teen dating, that you can listen to, and I also give independent artists a chance to play their music on there and get their music out there and come on and, like, tell me their projects. And then I also have authors on there. Also, I also have a lot of designers come on there. And so I'm really just opening it for all the independent artists and all the creativity they have, not mainly just focused around me. You know, like, I really wanted someone else. I really want everyone to be able to listen to it and then really just connect with their friends, have a way to create fan base and all kinds of stuff. So it's going, it's been going for like a year now. I started January 1st, 2011, so it's about to be a year strong.
Nice. Big congrats to that. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm about to have a big holiday party, invite all my guests in for 2 years, and then, all of my guests in that been in for the year for 2 hours, and I'm going to go live for 2 hours and have, like, a whole big holiday party on air.
Very cool. Well, you know what? Now you got some new viewers here, so we will definitely check it out.
Oh, yeah, everyone, check out
right
On Air with Nisa at Yahoo. Yeah. I mean, onairwithnisa.com. You guys can also email onairwithnisa@gmail.com.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Awesome.
That is perfect.
You got some new fans here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Well,
I love it.
I know that your phone was getting ready to go down on you, so we won't keep you too much longer. We just wanted to be able to have an opportunity to get to talk to you tonight. So thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for being a part of our radiothon. Keep in touch.
Great to meet you, Nisa.
I will. Happy holidays, everyone.
You too.
Happy holidays to you. Take care.
All right. Bye. You too.
All right. So,
well,
Josie,
Tina Maria, it sounds like we got about 4 minutes left here.
You got it.
Before we are cut off.
Over here and the little switchboard girl. So I have
definitely, I definitely want to take a couple of seconds to thank everybody who's involved.
Yeah.
Malia McKinney, who's our mascot and leader at Conscious Music Entertainment. Pat Melfi, who was on earlier, who's our founder at Yodo and Muse Art World. Also to Elizabeth Cobb, who is a great, wonderful soul who helped put this together. And Audra Nay, my publicist, who's also one of the chair people here at these organizations. And also, is there anybody I'm forgetting here? Some of the people that put together the website and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Bill and Daryl, and, I don't want to mess up last names, but they've been really great. They've certainly helped do a lot of those things for us. And Alan Firestone, who ran this entire stream for all 6 hours today, we certainly want to thank him. He put the pictures together and the stream and made sure that it was all up on Facebook and running so that we wouldn't close down with all the wonderful people that called in. So we have to say thank you to Alan. He dedicated
his time.
Yep, and he did a great job. We streamed live all 6 hours from three different shows and had on a plethora of guests.
Yeah.
And, it all worked out very well and it was absolutely seamless. So a big thank you to him as well. The other hosts and the other shows for dedicating their airwaves to go ahead and lend it over to Muse Art World Foundation Radio-a-thon tonight. I think that's important to say thank you to everybody for doing that. So it's been a great night, and we should just remind everybody, please go to
Facebook.com/MuteArtWorldFoundation. Bookmark it so you can go there
every day.
Make sure you hit the like page on that.
And I want to definitely thank you guys for the hard work that you guys did also.
Oh, well,
thank you. I have to say I support this 100%, and whatever we can do, and it's so cool how we all came together, one thing in common, music and kids, and I love this, and also big thank you to you, Lou. Thank you so much for co-hosting with us and partying with us.
You
guys have been such a blessing in my life, and I love every ounce of it. Every second of it's been just amazing.
Right. We need to get you a cold drink and a sandwich.
I know. I am laying down at this point. I've got my headphones on, and I'm laying down. I'm excited. I didn't think I could talk that long.
Well, I tell you what. You come down to the Josie Show studios, and we will get you a nice shot of great night. Thank you, everybody. And remember, please support Muse Art World Foundation page on Facebook and Conscious Music Entertainment Facebook page. Please go and like those. And also,
Solutions Now Radio and Teen Groove on the Move.
And the
Josie
Show.
Yes. And I'm so glad with everyone that stuck with us for 6 hours. That's crazy.
In January, don't forget, 2012, Icon News, lots of celebrities this year coming at you.
Icon News, everybody, it's coming at you. Look for more details on that. And Lou, when you got all of the particulars, you let us know, and we'll pop that on our show and let everybody know that you're rocking.
We're supporters of you too, Lou.
Absolutely. It's a date.
All right, we got 10 seconds. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Good night, everyone.
Yeah. Night, everybody. Woo! I have to start some fireworks or something.
Yeah, we need some fireworks, like a little screensaver that pops up or something. That's awesome.
I know, right? I think it's time to wake up the neighbors.
Yeah.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. See you, Lou.
Good night, guys.
Night.